my fourth sermon for the month of December. So far, I've preached about peace, joy, and love. And just before we usher in the new year, I thought I'd look at the topic of hope from a Christian perspective. And I'm glad you've just given that testimony because it fits in with the topic of hope. The scripture that inspired this sermon comes from the Message paraphrase in Acts 2 verse 26. You ready, Jordan? It says, I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Other translations say, my flesh will dwell or abide in hope. But I like the Message version. It's pretty cool with this picture, don't you reckon? I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Read it with me. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Let us pray. Lord, help us to give you our full focus as we explore your precious word together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Amen. Let's have a look at one of the best examples I could find in the Bible of someone who's pitched their tent in the land of hope. And it's found in the book of 2 Kings. But I don't want you to turn to it. I want you to listen to this story today. One day, Elisha visited the small village of Shunem. A well-to-do woman with a generous heart who lived in Shunem urged Elisha to stay for a meal at her home. She's probably a lot like Marlene. Marlene, you're that kind of woman that would say, stay for a meal. It must have been a pretty good meal that made a lasting impression, because whenever Elijah came by that way, he made a habit of popping in for a feed. Hi, just passing, thought I'd pop in. After a period of time, this kind-hearted lady said to her husband, I know that this man who visits our home is a holy man of God. I just know it. Why don't we build a small room on the roof of our home and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp? Then he will have a place to rest whenever he comes this way. Her husband thought about it and agreed that it would be a good thing to do. So they did exactly that. They did a home extension. Pretty good, hey? This generous act so blessed the heart of Elisha that one day when Elisha was relaxing in this new room, he began to think about how he might be able to bless this kind, hospitable couple in return. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. So Gehazi called her to come. Now, I don't know where she was. She may have been in the fields. Who knows? But she came from wherever she was, and she stood in the presence of Gehazi. Gehazi, the servant, then mediated between Elisha and the woman, as was the custom back then, because she was just a woman. They don't even give her a name, the Shunammite woman. Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? We can pull some big strings here for you. What do you want? She replied to Gehazi, I have a home among my own people. I am satisfied with where I am. Isn't that nice? Someone content and satisfied. What would you have said? This answer didn't help Elisha's need to reward her kind generosity. So he asked Gehazi, his servant, for an idea of how they could help. Gehazi answered, she has no son and her husband is old. She has no son and her husband is old. That was it. That's all Elisha needed to hear. Elisha commanded Gehazi to call her into his presence. So he called her, and this time she stood in the doorway within earshot of Elisha's voice. Motioning towards the Shunammite woman, Elisha prophesied, it's all right, Marlene, I'm not actually pointing to you, okay? About this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. Now, I could point to a lot of people in this place, because there's quite a few who are expecting a child in the next year. Her initial reaction to this marvellous prophecy was to object. No, my Lord, please don't mislead me. This cry obviously came from a heart that was no stranger to disappointment in this area of blessing. I'm sure she would have tried many times to fall pregnant. Maybe she'd even suffered numerous miscarriages. Who knows? But all of her hope had been spent long ago. And now to be promised something so wonderful and then for it not to happen again was a bitter pill she didn't want to swallow. So please, Elijah, don't promise me something that won't happen. However, God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. The woman became pregnant, and the next year, around that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. Now, Pastor Richard, both your daughters had that experience, didn't they? Vicky called them to herself and she prophesied, said, this time next year, before Mother's Day or around Mother's Day, you will have a child. And they both had children around that time. So God is good. He still does the same thing today. Hallelujah. Vicky was very courageous giving that prophecy. Very courageous, and it came to pass. Now, I'm certain she would have cherished this amazing gift from God, for God had truly blessed her with her heart's desire. The child was much loved and grew like any normal child. But one day, early in the day, he went out to be with his father, who was with the reapers in the fields. The young boy, it appeared to be in pain when he said to his father, "My head, my head." His dad may have been busy with the workload at the time, so he told a servant, "Carry the boy to his mother, she'll look after him." The servant picked him up and carried him to his mother. She nursed her precious boy on her lap until noon, and then he died. Her little boy slipped away in her arms just like that. Gone. She went up to the room she had built for Elijah and laid her boy on the bed of this man of God. And then she shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." Her husband replied, "Why are you going to see Elijah today?" He was obviously ignorant of the gravity of the situation. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. There's not a reason for you to visit the holy man today. There's no special religious occasion." She simply replied, "It will be well." In other words, shalom. All is secure, all is healthy, all is tranquil, all is peaceful. All is well. She didn't tell him his son was dead. She simply said, "It will be well." She is pitching her tent in the land of hope. She is pitching her tent in the land of hope. The woman saddled her donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. Just keep moving." So she set out and came to Elijah at Mount Carmel, which is approximately 20 miles from where she lives. So it's a good ride on a donkey. When Elijah saw her in the distance, he senses something was wrong. This woman would never demand his audience for some small reason. Pointing out her rapid approach to his servant, Gehazi, Elijah said, "Look, there's a Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" In obedience to Elijah's command, Gehazi quickly intercepted the woman's approach and asked, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" She simply replied, "It is well." In other words, all is secure, all is healthy, all is tranquil, all is peaceful. She was pitching her tent in the land of hope. It is well. But she didn't stop moving. She continued her approach until she reached the man of God at the mountain. She dismounted from her donkey and in desperation fell and took hold of Elisha's feet. Gehazi, the servant, quickly came over to push the woman away, for no woman should dare touch a man of God. But Elisha said, "Leave her alone, leave her. Something's wrong, but for some reason the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." Holding on to his feet, the woman pleaded, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I tell you not to mislead me?" The thing she so desperately wanted but dare not ask for had now been taken from her. What was it all about? Catching on very quickly, Elijah said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. Run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, don't answer. Just keep on running. Go and lay my staff on the boy's face." Obviously, Elisha was expecting the touch of his staff to heal the boy. But that wasn't enough for the Shunammite woman. She was hanging on for total assurance. "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, Elisha, I will not leave you." In other words, "The only way you're going to get rid of me, Elisha, is by you coming in person to heal my boy." Women would be like that over their children, wouldn't they? Who would do that, girls? I would. "Don't you dare just send your staff. I want you. I want the best." She was pitching her tent in the land of hope, and she was not letting go. So Elisha, obviously not wanting to argue with a desperate woman, who wants to argue with a desperate woman, followed her home. Gehazi obediently went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. Elisha got it wrong. She got it right. Gehazi went back to the now traveling Elisha and told him the boy hasn't awakened. That was a bad report. Things are not looking good. When Elisha reached the house and peered into his room, the boy was there lying dead on his bed. Elisha went into the room. After closing the door, he prayed to the Lord. Then he did something most strange. He laid on the boy's dead body, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body gradually grew warm with Elisha's transferred warmth. Elisha got off, walked around the room praying, and then got on the bed to stretch out on him once more. This time, the boy responded physically because he sneezed 7 times. Achoo! 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 Was that 7? And opened his eyes. He sneezed and opened his eyes. In Hebrew, 7 is shava. It is from the root word sava, which means to be full or satisfied, to have enough of. 7 represents perfection and completeness. 7 is God's perfect number. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." When she walked into the room, he simply said, "Take your son. typical kind of prophet person, isn't it? A pastoral person will go, look at your boy, he's alive. I prayed for him and now he's alive. Wouldn't we? Would we do something like that? But not a prophet. Take your son. But this is good. She came in and fell at Elisha's feet and bowed to the ground. Please note that the woman gave thanks first. Now, everything within that woman, all her hormones, all her natural instincts, would be to want to run to that bed, grab her little boy's face, and look into his eyes and say, hi, I love you, mummy loves you, mummy loves you. That's what she really wanted to do. But she denied herself of that pleasure because first she gave thanks. We need to learn from that. When you give thanks, when you acknowledge God first, you're pitching your tent in the land of hope. And then she took her son and went out. Quite some time later, it's a couple of chapters later in 2 Kings, keep with me because this is such an interesting story. Elisha warned this same Shunammite woman, you need to get your family out of Shunem and the surrounding region and stay for a while wherever you can because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. It appears that by now her old husband was no longer around because he's not in this story. The Shunammite woman did as the man of God had advised her to because she was pitching her tent in the land of hope. At the end of the 7 years, God's perfect and complete number, she came back from the land of the Philistines only to discover that her house and land were now in the possession of a total stranger. Someone had moved in while she was away and taken everything that belonged to her and her son. It must have seemed a little like history was repeating itself. She was doing what Elijah told her to do, and for a season she was blessed, but then disaster hits and everything is gone. Life is like that, isn't it? God, what is it all about? But this fine lady remained true to her tenacious character, for she pitched her tent in the land of hope and took it upon herself to appeal to the king for her house and land. It just so happened that the king was at that time talking to Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, and had just said to Gehazi, tell me all the wonderful things Elijah has done. There are some amazing stories circulating. Are they all true? Please tell me the best ones. Everyone, even the king, loves a good first-hand story, don't you reckon? Yeah. It just so happened that as Gehazi was telling the king how Elijah had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elijah had brought back to life came to request an audience with the king. God's timing is always perfect. Ours isn't, but his is. Gehazi recognized the woman and said, this is the woman, my lord, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. The king eagerly asked the Shunammite woman about it, and she told him everything. The king got the amazing story firsthand. Wow, he was so impressed. Elisha really brought this boy back to life? I reckon the king would have gone up to him and started prodding him and squeezing his cheek and doing that with his hair and slapping him around. Yeah, he's definitely alive. Great job. It was a 60-minute news story without a doubt. The king was so impressed with the whole deal that he then personally assigned a royal official to her case and said to him, get back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now. She got it all back. lock, stock, and barrel. And she got it all back because her son died and Elisha brought him back to life. Think about it. She got it back because her son died and Elisha brought him back to life. We got everything back because Jesus, the Son of God, died and God brought him back to life. And that's where we got our victory. There's always, you can always see the gospel in every major story in the Bible. You can see a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the amazing thing is, her son had died tragically. It was horrible. It would have been an awful time for her. But Elijah brought him back to life, and because of that, today she had her house back too. Go figure. I believe this account clearly shows us the wonderful tapestry that God weaves in the lives of people who honour him and who know him well enough to pitch their tent in the land of hope. When we are born again, we, metaphorically speaking, pitch our tent in the land of hope. Being born again means that you live in constant hope, good hope, not in fear, not in misery, not in negativity, not in terror, not in panic, not in trepidation, not in anger, not in jealousy. We live in constant hope. If Michaels hadn't hoped, he would have gone straight back to Nigeria, would he not? But you kept on hoping that things would be better. And you hoped in God, and we prayed for you. We see this all the time, honestly, don't we, Mary? Answers to prayer all the time. In fact, they're building the answers to prayer. It's just amazing because we've continued to hope for what God wants, not what satanic powers want, not what even what you want, but what God wants, and it's always the best for us. Because no matter what comes our way, if we are obedient to the King and we truly believe in his word, listen to me, if we are obedient to the King and we truly believe his word, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is an absolute truth. There is no getting around that. And I think when we get to eternity, one day we're going to look back and go, wow, God, I didn't realize quite what you were doing then. I should not have worried through that period because you had that one in hand. This is where we are now in glory. The short 70 to 100 years we had on earth were just nothing in the whole scheme of eternity. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's our reality. The Shunammite woman saw it, and she didn't even know Jesus is a savior. This is our reality. So make sure in 2018, you pitch your tent in the land of hope. Could I have that picture one more time, Jordan? In 2018, that looks like a pretty nice place to be with the tent, doesn't it? He's positioned it just so he can see God's creation at its best. In 2018, people, let us pitch our tents in the land of hope. Don't worry, don't stress. No matter what you see around you, and there'll be things happening around us. We all know the world is getting darker. We know it. We can see it. Jesus is coming again. But I'm not a part of this world. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter who's in power, you know, what persuasion of government is there. I'm in the kingdom of God, and I choose to pitch my tent in the land of hope, which happens to be the kingdom of God. There's no other place. Some places might look nice for a season, but they have burdens. They give you problems. The land of hope is all about Jesus Christ. And he gets better and better and better. The longer you know him, the better. The more you see him, the better it gets. Amen? Who can testify to that? God is good. Isn't that a beautiful story? And sometimes you miss the ending because it's a couple of chapters later. But if the Shunammite woman can do it, we can do it. Amen? Let us stand. Daniel, could we have the band?